93.7 FM, hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, myjoyonline.com, also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via various affiliates, live on X Spaces, Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy. Energizing Dreams coming up, mounting public health crisis in the Oti region with more than 10,000 cases of typhoid fever recorded in just 6 months.
And if you look at the first quarter alone, we are talking about 4,417 and 5,816 confirmed cases from the hospital. This is a public health concern.
Well, we have details as health officials call for urgent action to bring the situation under control. Also coming up, National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, relocates more than 98,000 people from 8 high-risk areas in the northern region likely to be affected by the Bagri Dam spillage.
About 95,823 people along those communities have packed their tents and moved. Okay. They have seen what happened to them last year. Mm-hmm. So that is what I say this year. Education has gone down well.
Well, we'll also show you how the crisis is threatening food production with Joy News checks, revealing major impacts on rice, beans, tomatoes, millets and other staples. Now also this afternoon, Parliament Public Accounts Committee pushed for stricter measures to deal financial infractions in the Auditor General's report as payroll fraud increases from 14 million to 58 million cedis between 2023 and 2024.
Ensure that if somebody is at post and that person, that human being is validated, it's one activity and that's it. So that issue of validation needs to be tackled, handled once and for all.
In sports,
Thomas Partey's Black Stars call-up for the World Cup qualifiers is uncertain as sexual allegation case continues.
And also aircraft accident and incident investigation bureau moves to calm fears over domestic aviation safety, assuring the public that rigorous checks are conducted before every aircraft takes off.
Our airspace are safe, and as we speak, Ghana has an audit and we had a score of 89.89% of safety in Ghana.
We have details as the AIB assures thorough investigations into the Z9 helicopter crash will be conducted.
There's a follow-up process to make sure that it is done, you know. So be rest assured, it will follow the same process.
These and more with me, Mamiesi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. We'll be back. This afternoon, the Oti region is facing a public health emergency. More than 10,200 typhoid fever cases have been recorded in just the first half of 2025, stretching hospitals and clinics to the limit. Health officials blame poor sanitation and safe water and weak waste management for the surge. Listen to the Oti Regional Environmental Health Officer, Cynthia Setra, giving a breakdown of the cases.
We have the data from Oti Regional Health Directorate that indicated that a total number of 10,233 from first quarter to second quarter is confirmed cases of typhoid fever. And if you look at the first quarter alone, we are talking about 4,417 and 5,816 confirmed cases from the hospital. This is a public health concern. If you look at the percentage between the first and the second quarter, we were expecting that at least there should be a reduction, but there was increase of 31.something% of typhoid cases at the various hospitals. It's affecting people in Oti region. And for that matter, these data that we have, there are contributing factors to these diseases. We can look at those that even don't go to the hospitals, what happens to them. Those that do the traditional medicines, there is no data on them. And in fact, if you look at this data, there is no data also from Pantano district. We don't have any data from there. It's 0-0. So even when Pantano data on typhoid confirmed cases is being added to this, in fact, it calls for consent.
Well, authorities have identified inadequate sanitation, poor water quality, poor handling of food and improper waste disposal in the region as the contracting factors. Now, a new regional task force has also been set up to enforce sanitation bylaws, improve waste disposal and expand access to clean water. Now, let's get a better understanding of the situation. Obrin Pomba Usu is in the Oti region and joins us from our sister station, Adoma FM. Obrin Pomba, what is the current situation on the ground now?
My name is Mr. Thompson. I think the situation here is a big worry to the security here. Especially with regard of the number that we've recorded type of cases within the first half of 2025, which is about 10,000 and over. Even yet, we understand that this data that was collected in Kwantan North, which we know that when it comes to access to potable water, is a major challenge here.
Right.
Has not been added to the data.
So beyond the statistics, what stories are you picking up from the affected families or patients that capture the severity of the situation?
Well, maybe you see, we've been moving around to some of the hospital facilities that we have in Oti region here. And the regional health directorate has been confirming to us that the cases is alarming. So far, we have about 5% of type of cases in their region. So it means that if you pick any 22 individuals, we have two or more persons being affected with this challenge that we are facing in their region here. So with this, I think the assemblies and as part of the government strategy to ensure that sanitation becomes one of the priorities, they are making sure that now we go back to the communal labor and also enforce some bylaws.
All right. Thank you, Obrin Pomba, for that. Joining us now is Regional Minister John Japon. We're grateful for your time, sir. But what's your own assessment of the situation in the region?
Thank you. Thank you very much. When you talk about typhoid cases in Oti region, it looks a little bit scary. Yeah. Just to even to mention what happened to us yesterday, one of our chiefs, Asafache of the Bambai Traditional Council, we lost him because of typhoid, you know. And the latest report we have in Oti region is that even in the first quarter, 4,117 confirmed cases. 4,417 cases were confirmed. In the second quarter, 5,816 confirmed cases. So for the first second quarters alone of this year, the total number of people who are confirmed to have typhoid in Oti region minus the northern in Kwantan North, is 10,233 confirmed cases.
Right. We've got that. But beyond the death you just confirmed, other people also lost their lives?
So many people have lost their lives. You know, after politicians, most of them even died in service. The last former chief executives of Dambai all died out of typhoid. The situation is so bad for a typhoid in Oti region, and especially in Dambai, the capital, is very, very bad.
Well, over 10,000 cases, how is this impacting the hospitals there, especially how they're managing the numbers?
Unfortunately for us, we don't have a hospital in Dambai, and that is the major issue. Yeah, we don't know what is it, whether it is Dambai who is producing the typhoid or whatever. It's a serious issue. It's a very, very serious issue.
So
I myself have never suffered from typhoid. And when I became the minister and I came to Dambai, I've been treated three times of typhoid already, and it's a very dicey thing. It means in Oti now,
every 20 people, you have two people who have typhoid. Yes. Wow. And this report, there is a latest report. It is more scary than this one.
Well.
Yeah, and I want the confirmation before we will talk to you people again about typhoid in the children.
Wow.
Yeah.
You talk about that no hospital.
That report looks a little bit scary. And, you know, we have to see how best we can handle it. But for now, even this one, in every 20 people in OT, is supposed to have two people who have typhoid.
Yes, Mr. Japo, you know, you've talked about no hospitals there and the fact that the numbers keep increasing. What immediate steps is your council, the Regional Coordinating Council, taking to at least bring this under control?
Oh, yes. The Regional Coordinating Council has met so many times. We have made a lot of proposals to the Regional Health Directorate. We are even putting a task force in the region about sanitation issues.
Have you at least spoken to the health minister, you know, about the hospital situation or to get some form of backup?
Yeah, there has been. The hospital, you know, we're talking about hospital in Damai where this typhoid is so prevalent. Seriously, you know, it doesn't mean we don't have hospitals in there. Region. We have a very good hospital in Rara, but the distance from Dambai to Rara alone is an issue. In the evening, around 7:30, I was called at one of our chiefs is seriously ill. And before they got him to Rara, I mean, he passed on.
All right.
To be frank, and because of, you know, the Oti River, the sanitation in the area, I mean, it looks so bad that anything that you do in Dambai, the first thing you should be talking about is having a very good, big hospital to look at this one.
All right.
It's very, very important.
All right.
I've spoken to the minister. I will be doing more consultation with him to talk about the hospitals we're talking about.
I have even
invited private investors to come and see if they can help us with a hospital. And we are hoping that sooner or later, some of these people will listen to us and come and build a hospital.
All right. Thank you so much. And that's the Regional Minister John Japon talking to us about the very serious situation of typhoid fever in the Oti region. Well, to the Savannah region now, where the Inspector General of Police, Christian Teteyonu, is leading a high-powered security delegation to Binyiri, where violent clashes over there have been going on since Sunday. The delegation includes Charles Kippo, Director General of the National Intelligence Bureau, and Major General F.W.K. Abwebu, General Officer Commanding the Northern Command, together with their teams. Heavy police and military presence remain on the ground as authorities race to contain the violence. Isaac Nunya is our correspondent and joins us for more. Isaac, first, what is the current situation on the ground?
Nothing has changed much because as of this afternoon, three more arrests have been made. But the security is not open up to confirm the identities. So, based on the arrival of the IGP here, realize that the security personnel, everybody is around him, and then giving the briefing on the current situation on the ground. Based on the what they told him and what he also said, is what he's currently telling the Jagbawura. And number one on the list is additional deployment of 130 officers, 100 IP officers, and then 30 counter-terrorism experts. Even beyond that, he said he had drawn other officers from five additional regions, Northern, Upper East, Upper West, Bono and Bono East, to add to that of the Savannah region. And he believes that based on that, calm will return to the situation. His visit to the Yagbawura basically is to request him, to appeal to him, to talk to the chiefs and all the factions, including the youth in Solatuna Kaba district, to embrace peace, and allow development to continue in the area.
All right. Isaac, how about the relief situation there? We know some residents are taking refuge at the police station, but also some of them too have left the area. But have they received any relief items, especially from the Red Cross?
Nothing has changed in the sense that we are here with NADBO and that of the Red Cross. I asked them, and also to check on the ground. They said they are here to send any relief items to them. that what is very important to them is food and water before the shelter. But the district directorate that's supposed to supply these items is yet to do that. Let me also add that the two factions and the other groupings in the district that were summoned to appear before RESEC today, we are told, are yet to arrive. And then maybe after the departure of the IGP, either they will come or they will postpone and get another day. It's what we are yet to find out.
All right. Thank you so much, Isaac Nunya, for that update. And we'll definitely get listeners briefed about that RESEC meeting ongoing. Now, the National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, says it has relocated more than 98,000 people from 8 high-risk communities in the northern region as part of precautionary measures against the spillage of the Bagri Dam in Burkina Faso. According to officials, the relocation exercise is to safeguard lives and property in downstream communities in northern Ghana, where seasonal spillage of the dam often leads to severe flooding. His Northern Regional Director of Operations for NADMO, Sakibu Buhari.
Inshallah, with this year, education has gone down well. Mm. And I'm sure we are likely to record it to affected.
So when you say they have moved to where? To go and live with families in areas that will not be affected, or NADMO has created a temporary camp for them?
No, please. They have moved to, you know, there are some communities. So after this year, NADMO is well prepared, and our message have gone down to the likely affected communities.
And so, Mr. Buhari, what has been the response? Are the people playing along? Are the 98,000, have they moved already, or they are now harvesting before they...
About 95,823 people along those communities have packed their things and moved. So they have seen what happened to them last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I say, this year education have gone down well.
And that was the Northern Regional Director of Operations of NADMO, Sakibu Buhari, in an interview with my colleague Elton Brobe on the Pulse. Let's get a situation in the northern region. And my colleague Martina Bogri joins me from there. Martina, how is the situation in the area?
So the farmers continue to harvest their crops. Some are harvesting prematurely, and others have decided that they will just take out those that are matured and dry and rest, hoping that the rains would come, the floods will come, go, and they'll still be able to salvage something. And those who are hoping to are believing that at least help will come after the floods.
All right. Thank you so much, Martina Bugri from Tamale in the northern region. The situation is threatening food production. We join news checks revealing major impacts on rice, beans, tomatoes, and other staple crops. Joining us now is my colleague, Kojo Akotobwating, with some details. Kojo, what exactly have we found regarding the scale of impact on food production in the affected regions?
Well, we did some analysis based on the white water in the catchment area, and we estimate that over, let's say, 700,000 acres would be affected. If you look at the various communities along the Black Water, there are lots of farmer groups along the Black Water who are growing all sorts of things. And as you heard from Martina, they are harvesting crops prematurely. It means their yields are going to be affected, quality of the harvest is going to be to be affected, and a whole lot of other things. And so we should really prepare to see how we can even go to the aid of these farmers post the flooding after the Bagri spillage, and how we can, in the long term, find a solution to this.
Well, could you also know that sometimes you interact with experts and agricultural officers? What are they saying about the ripple effect this could have on food supply and prices nationwide?
Well, if you look at the Upper West is one of the key producers of some of our grains, maize, rice, sorghum, millet, cowpea, groundnuts, and they are in their major season now. So if the flooding is going to affect the major season production, we should expect that a good chunk of food that gets into the general national system will be removed from the general national system because we may not get it from the Upper West region. The Upper East region, sorry.
All right, thank you so much, Kojo Akoto Boateng. There, you're still listening to the Midday News on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break and we'll return with sports. And also, Parliament Public Accounts Committee push for stricter measures to deal with financial infractions in the Auditor General's report as payroll fraud increases from 40 million to 58 million cedis between 2023 and 2024.
Ensure that if somebody is at post and that person, that human being, is validated, it's one activity and that's it. So that's...
Welcome back to the Midday News. Mubarak is here with Sports Mubarak.
Amesi, so a final decision on Thomas Partey's inclusion in the Black Star squad for the upcoming World Cup qualifiers is yet to be made by the technical team. Now, remember, the former Arsenal midfielder is scheduled to appear in court in London on September 2nd, having been charged with rape against two women and sexual assault against a third. Now, that date falls just 2 days before Ghana traveled to Chad for their match day 7 and counter. Now, head coach Otuado, he is expected to announce his squad for the games against Chad and Mali in the coming days. Back to you, Mamisi.
Thank you so much, Mubarak. Now, the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament is pushing for stricter measures to help deal with increasing financial infractions captured in the Auditor General's report. Financial mismanagement among government institutions have seen a jump in the last year, especially payroll fraud, which has seen a 300% jump from 14 million cedis in 2023 to 58 million cedis in 2024. We'll look at the figures shortly, but first here's a wrap of what transpired at the committee sitting on Monday, where the Deputy Minister for Finance, Thomas Ampenyako, revealed that a staff at the Controller and Accountant General's office is currently under investigation for a related offence.
The matter about non-payment of some government workers, especially teachers, due to non-validation came up at the Public Accounts Committee, where Chairperson Abino Asiasare raised concerns about how the phenomenon has become a bargaining or punishing tool for some superiors in the educational sector.
You know, and sometimes too, it is a way of some of the heads showing teachers where the power lies. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very painful. Since Friday, we've had a lot of these reports. It's very painful.
This is the Controller and Accountant General, Kwesi Ejeh's initial response.
Because they validate, they are in the district, they are in their offices, and they will determine that this number of people deserve to be paid. We cannot, as controller, pay you if the validators haven't validated you.
It was on the back of this that the Deputy Finance Minister, Thomas Ampenyako, made a revelation that the staff at the controller's office is currently under investigation over a similar incident.
There was one that went viral recently about someone who complained that I think a teacher also name was taken off the payroll. Somebody assisted him to get it on, and the person was demanding a lot of money from him. Because he did not pay, they went ahead and removed his name from the payroll. Mm. We have taken serious view of this.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers, and Isaac Kofije joins me in studio. How grave are these infractions, Kofi?
Well, Mame, so total irregularities, not money lost anyway, actually exceeded 2 billion Ghana cedis. We are talking about tax irregularities, cash irregularities, debt and loans irregularities, and payroll irregularities. In fact, interestingly, payroll irregularities went up by some 300% between 2023 and 2022. Mm. If you look at stores and procurement, over 2,000% increment. Contract irregularities, thankfully, came down by 73.6%, and then also tax irregularities, which was the highest of 1.5 billion Ghana cedis, also seen a significant drop between 2023 and 2024.
Thank you, Kofi Ejeh, for that. Now, this afternoon, the Aircraft Accident and Incident Investigation and Prevention Bureau, AIB, is moving to calm fears over aviation safety after the recent Z9 military helicopter crash and Precautionary Landings. Acting Commissioner of the Bureau, John M.K. Umboti, revealed that after the recent Ghana Armed Forces helicopter crash that killed 8 people, including 2 ministers of state, and a series of precautionary landings, many Ghanaians approached him with fears about flying. But addressing the media in Accra today, he said the country's airspace remains safe, pointing to